there are boundaries that a person may need to exercise to keep things from outside from invading inside. Not because they're necessarily bad, it's just not at the right time or not in the right dose or not in the right, you know, process of digestion. So there's reason to have boundaries that keep things outside, outside. Okay. And there's reasons to have boundaries to keep things that are inside, inside. And there's reasons to have boundaries to keep things inside in a relationship that don't need to be outside the relationship. So there's a lot of ways that there are appropriate responses to have boundaries to either protect outside stuff from interfering inside or inside stuff from creating interference by going outside. That's just on you.
Can you just stop for one second? Because I love that you use the word boundary and then you use the word protection.
Yes.
So I really want to make sure that we understand that that's the whole purpose of boundaries is protection.
Well, and
sometimes we feel negative about boundaries.
Yeah. I mean, in all these pages of notes, the first thing I write always is why. And my why is to be the best version of you possible, you need safety. To be the best version of you possible, you need expression in the safety. Like if you're just safe and not expressed. So I believe you exercise these boundaries so that you're protected, so that you're safe. And that ultimately, then you can express. You don't just say, well, I'm safe, so now I can go hide in a closet the rest of my life. I'm safe, so now I need to go forth and partake in the world.
So since you said it a couple of times, the word safety, and you know I'm going to have to call on you, Mandy, because I loved being at leadership camp with
you. The angel of safety.
Where you taught that class, and you're great at teaching on boundaries. But just comment on the reality of what it exists in safety. I love how crisply you conveyed it, and I quote you on it a lot, but it's, since you're here, I would love to hear it live.
Well, I love this conversation too, and you know that. I really believe that there are only two emotions in the world. There are safe and not safe. And when we can realize that, and when we can understand what it takes to help someone experience that safety and therefore be able to express all the other emotions that they're feeling, we have really learned to connect and understand the person.
So another level of depth in you bringing up this conversation, that there are only two emotions that exist, safe and unsafe, and that there are tools to help people move and connect and understand each other when we have more safety. So I love that. That's another A and D you added. So I appreciate that. So I hope you write that down. I hope that you reflect on that. And I hope that you don't use that as a judgment of yourself or people around you. That there are times where we don't feel safe. There are physical times, there are emotional times, financial times where we don't feel safe. And that does exist. It's not something to deny. And we can have that expectation. I really wanted to dive into expectations as we're talking about boundaries today. Because I think it helps people frame, I love that word framing, the what the experience is like when we have realistic expectations. And if it's a time where somebody doesn't feel safe, then putting a expectation of them giving more or doing something in addition or looking out for your needs at that time is not a fair expectation. So I think expectations is really important. And I love what Mandy just brought up about connections happening and understanding as a result of clear boundaries.
So I want to continue to give you a few more frameworks. And then I want to revert back to, we already have the answers. But some people are like, well, now I got to figure out how to do this balanced prosperity thing. And man, I am on a crusade to squash the moments when people say, I have to figure this out. Stop figuring it out. You know, if I say I have to figure out gravity because I'm going to take a walk, no, I don't have to figure out. I can read about it. I can listen to someone talk about it. I don't need to spend my time figuring it out. I need to live myself outward towards it. Right. So boundaries that protect things that don't belong out there for now, boundaries that protect things from outside that don't belong in here yet. So there's boundaries there. Then there are boundaries as it plays out that are relative to the matters at hand. So some of us may want to look at our boundaries about time, you know, and I'm not just talking about the class. Oh, are you someone that's always late? let's not even go start there at all. Just do you make a priority of time for the things you claim are a priority, right? So if my wife and kids are a priority, but I'm spending more weekends on the road than at home, well, then evidence is they are not the priority. They're important, right? But they're not the priority, because in 1,000 minutes of time, if 590 of them are on the road and 410 are, then they're not the priority. Right now, the priority is growing the business, or they're growing the empire, doing whatever. And that's right. You're not saying your kids are not a priority. They're just not the priority. All right. And sometimes the boundaries may have to shift about time. Time for faith, time for intelligence, time for physical fitness, time for social, emotional engagement, time for financial clarity, time for professional advancement, the seven territories of life. How do we create boundaries for time? All right. And I'm just going to label these. So there's time, there's the actions in those times, and there's the people we encounter in the midst of time. So I define for today's conversation, there's a lot of different ways to compartmentalize this, but I wanted to get a few compartments in there. Boundaries from stuff going out or stuff coming in. Boundaries as it applies to time. Boundaries as it applies to actions from ourselves towards others, others towards us. And three, boundaries as it applies towards others, period. And others would be, of course, our primary relationships. Others would be our peer workers, our co-associate doctors and things like that. Then it would be our CAs, and it would be our patients. These are all boundaries that are carried out with all these different people, right? And it's a lot of different people, a lot of different categories as a business owner, as a doctor, as a healthcare provider. So there's a lot that's going on in all that. And I think that's enough for categories.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. So this topic about protection and safety and all of those means, that's so much to look at.
Yeah. So let's go over a couple of examples. You did this on the philosophy call with the fitness of our philosophy and how is that lived out. I think it's easy when we look at the category of actions to recognize that sometimes we blur that boundary with our words that we use in the practice, whether it's words with patients, words with teams. Sometimes we talk about things that are leading the team to not feel safe. Like if we're talking about the amount of money that we're spending on something in our personal life, or we're talking about...
Just stop right there. I mean, this is a big one. I believe this is a predominantly doctor's line. Your CAs, and this is a boundary issue, but, and I know we all screw up on this at one time or another, but I'm going to say it, and I'm begging, there is no one person I'm talking to right now, because I'm going to say, he's talking to me, he's calling me out. I'm not calling anyone out. I'm calling the behavior out. Mm-hmm. So try to receive the statement and don't attach things that I'm not saying to it. Your employees should never hear you ever talk about your finances. They should never hear you commenting about ability to pay bills, not pay bills. Frankly, it'd be better if they had no clue where you went on vacation or what you did. It's just, and it's not because you have to hide from them. It's not necessary. And it can bring up all kinds of other judgments behind the scenes when you're not paying attention, and you will be judged for it. And you're going to get judged anyway. We're all going to get judged. Mm-hmm. But in terms of boundaries, money is a huge one that so many doctors don't understand. And they'll say things like, oh, well, thank God we met payroll this week or something. It's like, what?
We can't go to seminar because we can't afford that.
If for some reason you can't go to a TLC event because you're believing the finances aren't there, do not ever be heard saying that to your employees, all right? Because you're planting a seed of their fear. You're planting a seed. Yeah, safe or not safe. They're definitely not going to walk away and say, oh, I feel safe at work now.
Right.
Good. So, I don't know, we can go further, but
I think that's important because it's an action that either moves us forward in terms of safety or moves us away.
Yeah.
And it's something that we can look out for.
I guess in general, we can discuss this. So how safe is it to express to team member what you're stressed about? Right. Now, there's a certain balance that, like, let's say you're stressed because we're not addressing rescheduled calls quickly enough. Okay. Well, it's important to remember that if we do feel stressed about that, we're stressed about the issue, not the person.
Mm.
And if we are genuinely stressed about the person, then you need to talk to safe house places. You need to come to Dr. Jen or me or one of the other heart coaches or your AC coach and say, I am stressed about an employee. Okay, well, that can't get discussed with employees.
Let's see. Mandy, is Dr. Burke also on a separate line? Is he on the call? Can we open his line for a moment? So I would love you to comment, Dr. Burke, on that subject about utilizing heart coaches and other people to come alongside, that it's an addition to safety to not always have to go to your primary relationship to provide that source of a place where you can vent, but you can have other people do that. So if you can talk about that in terms of boundaries, that would be great.
In terms of boundaries, well, I mean, the reality is there has been times in Mandy and I's relationship, just to be very, you know, forward, that my venting, whatever you want to call it, is taxing on the relationship. That's probably not a good boundary to have or to bridge. I mean, there must be a boundary there. I mean, there are reasons we have the tools in TLC, the heart coaches, the AC coaches, all those things that are trained to be able to deal with circumstances that, let's just face it, a spouse may have no control over, no input on whatsoever. And so really you're presenting a problem that doesn't oftentimes even have a solution if we're talking about an anxious moment or an angry moment or whatever it is. And so it's just a disservice to the spouse. And there should be a boundary about that. You know, one of the things we've talked about, and I haven't heard it talked about for a long time, but having the boundary of when you get home from work, especially if you work with a spouse in clinic, those types of things, is that you give yourself 25 minutes to a half hour to talk about certain things in the office, and then you're done.
So can you give an added window into boundaries last week when we were on the phone and something that I brought up to you on the phone that I challenged you to do that was a boundary that you chose to embrace and do something differently on and how you embrace that?
Well, yeah, so we were on our intensity call and I was obviously fairly ill at the time. And yet I was still in the office, still working. And the boundary you had was we stopped the call and you challenged me that it was time to go home and reschedule the afternoon. And so we did that. I'm guessing that's the one you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And what was your reflex? Well, I have video people that are coming to film this afternoon. Next week we're going on vacation. I can't leave. I have to stay.
Yeah. All those things. So the reflex was not, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do it.
Yeah. And what was the boundary that you experienced that I was most interested in protecting by telling you you had to go home?
Well, I mean, me and being able to, you know, continue to work and serve, you know, in a better place than I was currently at.
Can I add one?
Sure.
the specific comment on the phone of this will not, the conversation will not come up of canceling vacation next week because we moved today. And I appreciate you drawing that line around it because I know in his mind that if he misses this day, he can't miss the day that was scheduled to be missed this week. Mm-hmm. And it's, I love and appreciate his passion and his drive. And we need to be able to step away and connect outside of it. So I appreciate you emphasizing that boundary.
Yeah. Just what do we say over and over again about the prosperity of our practice and the prosperity of our home life? And did you remember that statement that we always make?
The prosperity of the practice can never be more than the prosperity of home.
And that's the biggest boundary. That's one of the core tenets of TLC, that we are even more interested in the prosperity in all dimensions in your home life than we are in the prosperity of your practice. We obviously care about prosperity in your practice and people saving lives in chiropractic. And we care about the sustainability of you in the relationships that matter most. So thanks for sharing that, Dr. Burke and Mandy. I appreciate that. So before we go on, I would love some people to either raise your hand or Jay, you can call on them. That would be great to just, what's the benefit of circling back to a conversation we bring up oftentimes, we train on it, balance, prosperity, and definitely at leadership camps about boundaries, that we're reinforcing something, hearing it today, that is a next level of safe versus unsafe, and for the purpose of protection and greater connection and greater understanding of the people around us.
So, Jay, while you cue any people up that are there, let me say this. So there's an infinite number of examples where boundaries were present, they were not present, that were functional, that were afunctional, that ended up productive or not productive. I think about during 9/11, you know, we were in practice then, and it was a Tuesday morning, and closing the practice was not an option. There was a boundary. All right.
Well, it was a Tuesday morning. We weren't adjusting it. Right. You were doing an outside talk.
So closing the office because of this was not an option, because our priorities are people are better dealing with anything, especially that adjusted rather than not adjusted. Now, we're probably not going to do a lot of missed appointment calls. We're probably not doing. And what we ended up doing was we put on in the background. We put a TV in an area of the office. We would have never had one. We put a little written note on the board. If you want to be adjusted in silence, just say so. If you have things you need to vent about, say so. But we're here to serve you regardless. And it was a very somber Tuesday evening, but we adjusted. Not adjusting wasn't an option. So there's a boundary for us that we would be delivering that. I love the boundary for Burke and Mandy, using our frustrations over having to be out sick, because many business owning chiropractors are frustrated by sick days, like, but letting that inflict a broken crossing of a boundary upon our vacation isn't going to happen. That's a boundary wall that will not be broken. All right. So you and I are very, very clear about boundaries just as people. Like, we have a lot of boundaries. And yet in certain areas, we're like boundary-less, you know, just like this morning, like, yeah, come on over. If you need to sleep over, you stay over house. And it's all great. And I would love it and you would love it. And it's an example that I guess that's a clarity. That's a boundary line for us. If a person is in need, other boundaries have to be checked as to, can we just unlock all these because this person needs us?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And same thing for employees, same thing for joy. There's a boundary marker on joy. We're not entitled to walk around in broken sadness if we're being employed to deliver correctness of the adjustment, right? It's not okay. Then we should go home. So there's a boundary. If we can't possess joy and focus and kindness and patience in the midst of patient care, then go home. Mm-hmm. That's a boundary we won't falter with. Okay. So there's a lot of different applications of this.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Okay. So I saw some pop-ups come up here. Jay, who do we have?
Yeah. Dr. Eric Van Sluten wrote in Dr. Burke's concerns about closing are the concerns that each and every one of us would have. At least I can speak for myself. You told Paige recently they had to choose between a family vacation and an office vacation this summer because of the exact same concerns. Dr. Eric, Paige, would you be willing to jump on, speak more on that matter?
Sure.
Are we muted?
No. well, I don't know. I guess that was just my comment. Like, let's, you know, I was able to spend some time with Burke this weekend. And I mean, like, when you told me the situation, I was like, I would be pretty resistant, you know, and I would, my first emotion would be fear of loss, and closure. And so that was, I reflected the one kind of dialogue that Paige and I had ongoing, that was kind of at the, in the springtime, which was, I told Paige, I was like, we get to choose between the family and us. And I think the reality is that this weekend, like, was the first date that we've done in a long time. It was kind of like a rough, summer. And so, so thanks, Burke and Mandy.
That's great.
Awesome.
Well, you know, something you guys have created a boundary with that is proclaimed now, Paige and Eric, to your credit, that might not have been quite as articulated before, is I'm pretty sure I've been seeing the two of you side by side on almost every balance and prosperity call. And that did not have the architecture of protective boundaries around it a while ago. It does now. And kudos to you. No judgment on the past, but celebration to the present. This is something you do now. And it means the world that, I mean, you two have incredibly diverse lives. You know, you're not 10 hours a day in the same location 5 days a week. So getting together for certain things means so much. And that's obviously been made a priority. It is protected. So it has existence within boundaries. You know, so it's, it, I mean, you being here is the whole example, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I think, just to comment on that, I think it's important to be intentional about your boundaries and to define those things. And if you don't have those conversations, then you can fluctuate within your boundaries and your protection. That Dr. Dean helped us come up with this goal of being side by side for every call, not being on the call separate, and what that might do for us in moving us in the direction we wanted to move in. And so we made that decision, and that just defined a boundary for us. And then we can protect that boundary. Mm-hmm. And do our best to achieve that and really move us in the direction we want to go. So,
you know, Paige, you have poetically been a igniter of that at many key moments in the course of your and Eric's practice, that, you know, Eric's all in, high energy, but taking certain things to completion or executing the details of it is not his superpower, but starting everything is his superpower. And you show up, and you show up, and you be that balancing part of things. You know, you've brought that to the table repeatedly in this story. It's been an amazing contribution.
Yeah.
And I love the willingness for both of you to express that, you know, you could relate to Dr. Burke's scenario, that he didn't want to shut down and he didn't want to go home. And A&D, in that moment where I was very clear, like, this was a boundary, you know, it was not just about for him, but it was a boundary for him to show to the team, to show to his family that he's receiving coaching that is protecting of the most significant boundary, which is himself. Like, if I knew that he was run down and sick and in this, and I was like, oh yeah, keep doing that, go do that, go do that, go do this homework, da da da, do I really care about him as a person and the sustainability? Or do I recognize that losing one day or one afternoon, he's going to overabundantly grow as a result of his willingness to receive that protection and move forward? So that makes me think of you, Dr. Joe. So provide and protect. I mean, what more example of a clear boundary do you have in your statement of desire and living out that sometimes, even in your work experience, your boundary, somebody else might get confused and not interpret your boundary as providing and protecting. So any example you want to share from personal to teen to patients on that clarity that you have of a boundary, but then some other people might look at it and really not realize that it is a boundary that you're protecting for them.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think part of the conversation comes from years of clarity, first and foremost, because, you know, like anything, you know, I set up with Michelle, my spouse, that I have 21 minutes in the car ride home to talk about the office stuff and what's going on. Once I get there, we're sitting right down to dinner. So that conversation has to come to an end. Mm-hmm. But from there, there are certain things that, you know, I have conversations with Tony Pannino about. And we get to talk about it because he's capable of relating to some of the situations a little bit differently. And for each and every one of us, we should also have that say anything person that we're capable of, you know, offloading some of these conversations onto without judgment, without instruction, but, you know, having those opportunities. I think in the grand scheme of things, it's allowed for me to compartmentalize who I'm allowed to have certain conversations with and recognize that there's safety in having conversations with certain individuals. And quite honestly, sometimes those conversations shouldn't happen with other individuals. And I know that's where we started this conversation today, is recognizing, you know, the conversations that are okay to share with certain categories of individuals. So I think that, you know, in having drawn lines in the sand and, you know, recognizing who is in, you know, each one of those circles, it helps to make sure that, yeah, you're protecting people in the midst of your practice day from getting into conversations that they should never be exposed to, that they should never be having. So I think that's probably one of the biggest things that if those on the line have never worked through that process, you should take the moments. And in fact, you know, you should be talking to Dr. Dean and Dr. Jen and other heart coaches about, you know, who is it safe to have these type of conversations with? And sometimes on the friend side, we don't have that say anything person readily available. So sometimes, you know, leaning into your TLC family gives you the guidance of, you know, who is it safe to actually share those things with?
You know, it's very common. We're in the middle of that exact type of scenario where a husband and wife are having a hard time in their marriage. Mm-hmm. And you discover, as you know, as you peel the layers of the onions of discontent offwards to try and get to what's really going on, is that this doctor has spent years using their spouse as a place to complain about the practice. They come home and they vent, or they come home and they download. And meanwhile, they're not doing their once a week dates, and they're not living the 25-minute rule, and they're not doing their monthly connections, and they're not on the balanced prosperity call every month. And then they wonder why now they're getting a divorce. Well, you built this divorce over the past 15 years of things you didn't do. Mm-hmm. And unbuilding it may happen, but in many cases, it's just too late. It could have been a salvageable marriage, but you waited too long to salvage it. Now that's unimaginably tragic when it gets to that point. And in the middle of that, they might not be sharing a common worldview. In the middle of that, they don't have common lordship. And there's just so many missing pieces that it's just too late. So I thank you for that. You know, as I was pondering something, seeing Joe there, you know, I have a lot of boundaries with my children, and I have a particular extra dose of boundaries about when my daughter calls on the phone or whatever. And so Joe was down visiting Life University this weekend or whatever, a week or so ago. And I really, 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 really wanted for Coriana to have some time with the Baker family, with Joe and Michelle and the girls and all that stuff. And so they made a date, and it was great. And Corey ended up in an unimaginably dangerous car situation that nearly caused a lot of things that in a dime would have changed everyone's life really badly. And it didn't end up that way, but because of it, there were tickets issues, stress was going on. And this all happened the morning of, or something like a couple hours before he was going to meet the Bakers. She was going to meet the Bakers for food. And she called me, or called Jen, and said, you know, I'm so shaken. I'm still crying overly, you know, at different, just any things that happen. Is it okay to cancel a meeting? And there's a part of me that's like, you do not cancel a get together. And then there was another, so there's these opposing boundary positional statements in there. And it's like, and it's your daughter and her heart is broken. And if she needs to cancel anything, you say yes. Right. And she kind of called us almost like for permission to do that. We're like, just cancel it. And, you know, Joe's got kids and he'll understand. And we have a saying, people who mind don't matter and people who matter won't mind. And if Joe Baker understands raising children and issues and things like that, he'll understand. And if he doesn't, we'll explain it to him. And if he still doesn't understand, oops, but he does understand and he looked out for the moment. But, you know, boundaries sometimes come up against other boundaries. And then you have to negotiate in your own mind, what's the most right response to have in that, you know?
Yep. So. And the boundaries point back to our statement of desire. And that's kind of why I called on Dr. Joe right then, because it's provide and protect those entrusted yep. with love. Yep. So that's a clear example of somebody who in his heart
yes.
had the value of boundaries and the value of living that out. And it's messy.
Yeah.
And sometimes people can misconstrue your yep. boundary as being controlling or something right. that's overpowering.
So I need your touch on what I'm about to do, because I want to unleash the full power of TLC suggestions upon you that really help make boundaries about your balanced prosperity personal life be most likely to succeed. So number one, you're on this call every month together live, right? That you just make a priority of this, and you don't just be on it, then you talk about it. And if you've been on it live,
talk.
Then after you be on it, then you might even listen to the recording over again. And if some bizarre thing happens and you can't be on it live, it's not an option to miss it. So the boundary protector says we do the recording together on the Saturday afterwards, but we do the recording together. And if we don't have a Saturday, then on the car ride or on the airplane ride or sitting in the airport or whatever it is, not doing it's not an option. The boundaries of protection protect this call every month. That's one.
Yeah. You know, I love what you said.
We have about 15 of these to do.
Okay. Yeah. I won't talk too much. You said interject. I love that, you know, the boundary is out is not an option.
Out's not an option.
It's not an option to not right. do it. And the recognition that we might have to be creative, might have to do it a little different way, but we're always going to find the time for what we prioritize.
That's it.
And if we're prioritizing the connection, then this call, we wouldn't ask anyone to do something in TLC that wasn't going to grow your home life and your practice and your impact in your community. Yeah. So if we're asking you to do it, there's a benefit for you. It's not like we're getting something out of you being on that call.
We're trying to wear you out.
There's a value in you deepening your connection to the people that matter.
Yep. So balanced prosperity call number one. Number two, every year you need to listen to the balanced prosperity call on monthly connections meetings. And monthly, you have to do the monthly connections meeting because it's named the monthly connections meeting. And whether it's a spouse equivalent, some people are living with their child and their child has moved in. And now the child's a permanent resident at 40, 50 years old. And that's your significant other relationship. They need a monthly connection meeting every month. And the meeting, remember, is 4 hours long, 3 hours of which is date time.
Wait a second. Can you also say about quarterly training? How long are quarterly trainings?
5 hours.
They've 5 hours.
Always been 5 hours. They should be 5 hours. Okay. They got shortened in some offices. They've got lengthened in some offices. But 5 hours is one of those ideal times. If you go past six, you're definitely wearing out the privilege. So monthly connections meetings happening with content. And that each of you is responsible for a part of it. And if your spouse is a non-DC spouse who doesn't want to have to prepare the P&L sheets or the bank statements or the kids' calendars or the practice calendar or any of that stuff wants you to prepare, okay, then the spouse is responsible to pick the restaurant or the hotel or the spa where we go and have this month's meeting, okay? But we do it every month, and it is a date. It is a date. It is 3 hours of a date. Did I say it's a date? That's a boundary you can't violate, okay? So it's a date. The 25-minute rule, Dr. Burke was early in the gathering mentioning, I mean, that came up because we are both chiropractors. We work together. We are obsessively in love with our work. We love work. We love work. We love to. And it's like we're at home. We're like, we're nuts. We just don't stop. And that birthed the 25-minute rule. We said, okay, well, a half hour is totally out of control. So let's make it the 25-minute rule. And we have to stop at 25 minutes. And there has to be a punishment. right? If either one of us violate the 25-minute rule, there has to be a punishment. And we would always jokingly make it, you know, cleaning all the toilets in the house or doing whatever, or having, it would have to be doing something you don't like to do, right? So some people love to clean the toilet, so I had to ixnay that out of it. It has to be something you don't like to do. So the 25-minute rule is carried out, and you know, come home and do anything. The dumping factor, if you recognize your spouse is being used as a pincushion for your complaints, but then let's say as a terrible example, but then you go back to your in-laws or her or his in-laws, your preceding biological family. And there you talk all about, oh, everything's amazing. Yeah, we're struggling at the practice. What do you think your parents and aunts and uncles or siblings are going to say if you say you're struggling with something? They're going to want to fix your life. And suddenly you're a problem. They need to help fix you. And now your spouse becomes a part of the visual image of, that's why my son's in a problem, that daughter-in-law, that daughter's in a problem, that son-in-law. Mm-hmm. All these boundaries need to be wisely thought about, okay? Mm-hmm. And where do you go for counsel? So 25-minute rule. Next one is making sure that when you walk in the door, you're done. So some of you bring a phone home that's still carrying over phone calls from your day at work that you're then going to engage in your home after you've been gone all day working.
Or just let's stop at the cell phone. Might not be work. It might be entertainment or zoning out and not being fully present, yep, because you're feeling like you're entitled, yep, to zone out.
Zone out. So I'm going to create a flip boundary matter. If you own a business and you're paying employees, the business energy is you. You drive the energy of the business. That energy is everything. New patients don't come to you, they come from you. Lifetime employees don't come to you, they come from you. You birth them in your every intentionality. So Sunday night, you need at least 25 minutes primping the house. Now, when I lived 2.4 miles down the road from this office Sunday night, I drove here every Sunday night. And I would get at least a half hour here. I would reposition tissue boxes if that's all that was left to do, but I would primp my house. I pressed my schedule. I made sure everything was tidy and ready. And I walked out feeling joy. I would sit in the new patient exam room praying about the multitudes of lives that would sit in this chair having their first ever consultation with a doctor of chiropractic in this facility. Mm-hmm. And I would pray in that chair and I'd sit in the other chairs. But Sunday night, I gave birth to another baby called a new week. All right. Now I do it from home, but I still give a half hour and meal prep. I can't live a life at the pace I'm living here and worry about where I'm going for lunch during the week. I'm meal prepped out. Every single meal, and I eat every 3 hours, is all planned for the whole week. All right. And I know where I'm going to the grocery store on Sunday night. I know the shelves I'm going to stock at, and I know the things I'm going to bring in because I don't want any interruptions in here. I know which lunchtimes I'm going to do a power nap, which lunchtimes I'm not, because I have to be set up with the boundaries so I can play life at the pace I love to play it. I am more than a Michael Jordan in this bowl of court. Because I want to be, all right? And so you got to have your boundaries aligned, and yours don't have to be mine, but what's your Sunday night prep ritual? What's your each morning prep ritual? What's your afternoon prep rituals, all right? That's why the first thing we do with new members in TLC is we put them through 3 months of the foundations, right?
Yeah.
To set up all those boundaries.
Yeah, so it was great being on that today, hosting it, and circling back to that boundary of doing guest cards. I'm like, why are we doing it? Why are we expressing gratitude? Why are we having two actions that's related to our core proficiency? And why is the boundary of the importance of connecting with community and holding people accountable if we see their guest card, interact with them? Dr. Troy, probably on this call, and his wife having surgery today. And what happens when we don't see somebody on there and how important that is. Yeah. The way we ask you to practice with your patients, with your team, is the same way we want you to be practicing in your relationships at home.
So the last and final thing, arguably the most significant, is, are you showing up here? Mm. This is a safe place. Mm. You, doctors, 5 events a year. Your CAs, 3 events a year. Mm-hmm. One leadership a camp a year with you and your spouse or your kids. One leadership a camp a year with you and your employees. You have to do these things. We have to be face to face. And if there's any inkling in you to look at the cost of the dollars, you're missing the virtue of the breakthrough. Mm-hmm. You will 10 times the money when your heart is transparent to the process of connectedness. Mm-hmm. 5 events a year for you, 3 for your CAs. That's minimum. So anything else you want to talk about in this? We have ASP coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Elections camp October, the last leadership camp of the year in November. And we have the calendars coming out. Steve Cole, I tried to explain that already on the ADP call. I mean, I can't pause long enough to emphasize the relevance of the human being who's coming to spend time with chiropractors this weekend that has nothing to do with the chiropractic profession specifically yet. Mm-hmm. And he's coming to check us out, the profession. We are the door he's chosen. You. Be there and enhance the impression that will lead to things we can't even tell you about yet that could shift the whole future of our whole profession. So,
very exciting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very exciting. So we are tirelessly at work that feels like play because we love being here with you. We hope you stay.
Dr. D, you're
funny. That's my new bumper sticker. It's a bunker sticker. All right.
Awesome.
Anything else?
No, that was great.
All right. See you guys.
Wait, Jay said something.
Jay said something.
Oh, yeah. No, I just want to thank you both. I want to thank Dr. Joe and Paige and Dr. Eric, everybody that contributed. Remind everybody to jot down takeaway, and I hope to see everybody next month at ASP.
ASP.
Right, ASP.
Thanks. Bye.